Elinor Mudo. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will take a close look at suicide, a condition that takes a person's life every 40 seconds somewhere in the world. But first, global cases of tuberculosis continued to rise last year as disruption to health services caused by the COVID-19 pandemic set back efforts to fight the disease, according to the latest annual report from the World Health Organization. Henry Ridgewell has the story.
Despite being treatable and curable, tuberculosis, or TB, remains one of the world's deadliest infectious diseases, causing an estimated 1.3 million deaths in 2022, according to the latest World Health Organization figures. That's a reduction of around 19% on the previous year. But there was a small increase in the number of cases to an estimated 10.6 million. Some 40% of people living with TB are undiagnosed and untreated. The COVID-19 pandemic, which began in 2020, overwhelmed health services in many parts of the world, and TB diagnosis and treatment levels plummeted.
Unfortunately, the incidence through TB is growing. We used to have a decline of 2% per year. And then due to COVID, we have now an increase for the last 2 years, 21 and 22, of almost 4%.
The World Health Organization estimates COVID-related disruptions resulted in almost 500,000 excess deaths from TB in the 3 years from 2020 to 2022. The report also reveals a concerning lack of progress in some areas.
A pretty difficult situation on people with drug-resistant TB, as well as childhood TB. So drug-resistant TB, short of 200,000 people were diagnosed and put in treatment. And exactly as WHO said, 2 out of 5 people with drug-resistant TB had access to drug-resistant TB treatment.
But the fight against TB is getting back on track. The number of cases diagnosed globally last year was 7.5 million, the highest ever recorded.
This shows that the countries buckled up to recover after COVID and even jump above the level before COVID.
A promising TB vaccine made by GlaxoSmithKline is currently in the final stage of trials, and more than a dozen other vaccines are undergoing testing.
We need a vaccine. So that will be the game changer. What it implies, I tell you what it implies. It implies to have either a vaccine that works perfectly on different age groups or several vaccines to complement each other.
The 19% fall in deaths from TB is still far short of the World Health Organization's target of a 75% reduction by 2025. Funding also fell short, reaching less than half of the WHO target of at least $13 billion for TB diagnosis, treatment and prevention services in 2022. Governments committed to spending $22 billion a year on TB by 2027 at a special UN meeting in September. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News, London.
We turn now to suicide. Get this, more than 700,000 people die due to suicide every year, according to the World Health Organization. And for every suicide, there are many more people who attempt suicide. WHO says suicide is the fourth leading cause of death among 15 to 29-year-olds. About 77% of suicides worldwide in 2019 occurred in low- and middle-income countries. Suicide remains a criminal offense in at least 20 countries around the world. As societies grapple with the devastating impact of mental health issues, medical experts, lawmakers, and advocates are questioning the efficacy and ethics of treating suicide as a criminal offense. For more insight, I spoke with Dr. Taiwo Latif Sheikh, professor of psychiatry at the Ahmadu Bello University in Nigeria and Lifeline International's Africa coordinator, a global civil society organization dedicated to suicide prevention. Take a listen.
It's a fact that suicide has become a leading cause of death globally. It's about the 10th leading cause of death across all age groups globally, and about the 4th leading cause of death among young people between the ages of 15 and 29 globally. Unfortunately, there is a kind of overrepresentation of this data in the low and medium income countries of the world, and even worse, in Africa. Over 70%, in fact, to be precise, about 77% of the global suicide rates in the world is taking place in low and medium income countries. And there are a very high percentage of this is in Africa. And in Africa, suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people between the ages of 15 and 29. So this is a huge problem globally, and it's worse so for Africa. Six of the top most or highest suicide rate countries in the world are in Africa. So you can understand when we say suicide is a global issue and it's a crisis issue on the continent of Africa.
To what can we attribute this issue, particularly when we look at the continent of Africa? What are some of the causes?
Yes. For us to discuss suicide adequately, it's very important that we understand the perspectives surrounding suicide globally and in Africa. There are factors that we consider as social determinants of suicide and also health determinants of suicide. So there are health conditions that we know that are related to suicide. Central among such health conditions is mental health. Mental health conditions are known to be well associated with suicide. And we also know that health conditions that run chronic causes, like diabetes, tuberculosis, HIV, that run very long-term causes, are also related to suicide. They have a bi-directional relationship with suicide. Now, when we look at the social determinants of suicide, which is the one that bothers us most, especially on the continent of Africa and other low and medium income countries. These are non-health determinants that tends to mount pressure on people, that pushes people, that would push someone to the brink, where you feel you are caged and you don't have any way to exit. And the only way you feel that can help you, solve the problem is to leave the world. Not that you want to die. You just can't find any way to solve the problem. It's so overwhelming, so overbearing, that it leads to a serious situation of hopelessness. That the only way you can see to end the suffering, to end the pain, is to take your own life. So, there are social problems, non-health problems, that leads to such situations. And these include what we consider as poverty, relatively and absolutely. These are contextual and structural problems within the society that could lead to such situations of poverty, like unemployment, like unmet needs of young people, wanting to get their own life aspirations, and there are barriers. We have problems of conflicts, war, problems of displacement, problems of banditry and terrorism, problems of human rights abuses, and then general problems of lack of shelter, lack of employment, people can't even survive, gender-based violence, intimate partner violence. These are non-health issues that put people under immense pressure, that makes you feel that, look, life is not worth it anymore. So by the time you add these social determinants of suicide, you add it to the health determinants of suicide, add them together, you realize that these are more preponderant in low and medium income countries. And Africa is, of course, you know, when the moment you mention low and medium income countries, Africa is there as number one continent. And the issue of poverty, the issue of unemployment, the issues of unmet needs of young people. Remember that Africa is a youthful continent. So when you have this on the continent, of course, it spirals into high rates of suicide. And then let me say, go further to let you know that the major health determinant of suicide is mental health. And provision of mental health in Africa is very poor. Our provisions for mental health in Africa is very poor. We lack mental health spaces. We lack mental health interventions. We lack mental health strategies for prevention and promotion in Africa. So you add this to whatever you have on the ground that is related to poverty, lack of housing, lack of employment, unmet needs of youth and gender, you know, female health challenges, birth problems, puberal and postnatal issues, and so on. You can understand why suicide is a crisis on the continent of Africa.
When you talk about the social determinants and the health determinants of suicide, looking at this big picture that leads people to taking their lives, it's still considered a crime in 20 countries, punishable by fines and in prison time. When someone survives, he or she can be penalized. How do we go from somebody's mental health and social pressure to suicide becoming a crime? How does this make sense?
Yes, thank you, Lina. This actually doesn't make sense. Looking at it from any direction, it makes no sense to punish someone for being ill instead of helping someone to overcome a health challenge. You are now punishing the person. Criminalizing suicide has never reduced the state of suicide in anywhere in the world. Making it a crime, making the attempt a crime, has never reduced the number of people who actually die because of suicide anywhere in the world. We have even seen countries where they decriminalize attempt suicide, and rather than increasing the state of suicide in those communities, it has reduced it. And I'll be able to tell you why this happens. But it's a tragedy that we are, you know, punishing people who are under pressure, who are not feeling well for their condition. So it's something that we need to look into. We need to discuss it. We need to bring this awareness and engage in a campaign that will make countries. There are more than 11 countries in Africa that suicide attempt still remains a crime. And there are over 10 countries across the other parts of the world where attempting suicide is still a crime. So we need to take this awareness campaign, advocacy campaign, to the doorsteps of policy makers, decision makers, implementers of government policies, civil society organizations, and especially our traditional institutions and cultural settings, our religious leaders. We need to take this campaign to their doorsteps. Let them understand the perspectives of suicide and attempting suicide. And let us go back to what we used to be as carers, as compassionate people, to look after those who have social problems, social pressures, those who are sick, those who are in this issue. So we can talk more about this. There is need for us to go into this global awareness and advocacy campaign.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. When we return, more of my discussion with Dr. Taiwo Latif Sheikh, Africa Coordinator for the organization Lifeline International. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Larry London, and I'd like to invite you to a brand new feature coming up on Tuesdays on Border Crossings. And we've got some great guests lined up. We are going to bring you our Tuesday Spotlight Artist of the Week. We will feature and highlight an interview and some live performances. And it's all happening on Border Crossings at 1500 Universal. This is something special that's coming in December on Tuesdays here on The Voice of America.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us on the show, today we are discussing suicide and efforts to decriminalize it. Here is more of my conversation with Dr. Taiwo Latif Sheikh, Lifeline International's Africa Coordinator. So talk to us more about the advocacy campaign and how to shift the conversation around suicide from a crime to mental health.
Okay. Let me start by making you understand that the relationship between our mental health and mental health condition and suicide is well known, is very obvious. Like I said in the beginning of this interview, about 90%, if not more, of people who die of suicide have one mental health condition or the other, or substance abuse, substance use disorder. Over 90% of people who die by suicide, they have one mental health problem or substance use disorder problem. So you can understand. And among this over 90% of people that we're talking about 70% have a condition that is attributable to depression. Depression is a sickness, it's an illness that leads to sad mood, overbearing sad mood, you know, feeling of hopelessness, low self-esteem, feeling worthless, very apologetic, guilt feelings, poor sleep, poor appetite, inability to meet up with day-to-day demands of life. So over 70% of them have this condition that we call depression, which is treatable. Is identifiable, it is treatable. So why will you not punish people who have this condition rather than help them where treatment is available? So you can see the relationship between our mental health and suicide. And all these social determinants of suicide that I said before, they are related to our mental health social determinants. They are also similar to the social determinants of mental health. So social pressure that could push someone to want to end his own life could also push someone to develop depression, anxiety disorder, and so many other mental health conditions. So the social determinants of mental health and the social determinants of suicide, they are similar and they are related. So suicide is very much related to our mental health condition. So like I said earlier, it's a tragedy that we now criminalize a condition that requires help, and we have the help available. We have the help that we can intervene. And instead of providing that help, we are now shutting the person up, not being able to access that help by making it a crime. So if I fail now, and I know that if I fail and I get out, I'm going to jail. The next time these thoughts come back to me, I'll make sure that I don't fail. Now, I want you to understand, let me just take you a little bit further. Suicide starts with an idea and moves into thoughts because of certain problems in the mind. The idea comes to you that how do I solve this problem? How do I get out of it? Then the thoughts come into you that the only way to get out of it is to get out of this world. Not really that I want to die. I love my people. I love life. I love my children. I love my parents. I love my friends. I will miss them. However, at that point in time, I can't think of any other way of getting out of this my problem than to end my life. So that thought starts with some ruminations that comes on and off, that I'm able to suppress. When I think about my family, I think about the good things about life, I'm able to suppress it. But it keeps coming back, and it becomes intrusive, repetitive and intrusive, to the point where I cannot take it off my mind anymore. And it leads to action. Because I need to be free. I'm so overwhelmed. It becomes a punishment if I don't do it. I find myself undergoing serious pain that I need to get out of. And that's what leads to suicide attempts. And the law that criminalizes suicide, it's aiming to prevent people from dying from suicide. But it cannot go to your mind to block the thoughts. It cannot stop the thoughts from coming to your mind. So what the law does is, when the thoughts come, you cannot express it because of the fear of the law. You cannot tell anybody that this is what is going on in my mind. So the law suppresses your ability to seek help.
Wow. That's true. It's counterproductive, really.
Yes. So it also prevents people from helping you. Mm-hmm. Because the law does not only punish someone who has survived suicide, it also creates punishment for anybody who is aware and did not report you to law enforcement agents. So if I open my mind to you to tell you that, oh, Lino, this is what is going on in my mind, the first thing you're supposed to do is to say, go to police and go to law enforcement that this man wants to take his life. So if they discover that I told you and you didn't go to the police to report, then you are liable. So you can see the implication of that law. It stops me from seeking for help, and it stops you from helping me.
If we look at the big picture, right, beyond decriminalizing suicide, what can be done to really lower the incidence?
Thank you very much. There is so much we can do, and we have strategic ways of doing them. We may not be able to do everything at once, but we can start somewhere, and we be very simplistic in our approach to it. There is beauty in simplicity. So if we don't make matters too complicated, we can achieve it. And the first step of looking at the legal, you know, situation around suicide is very important. It's a rate determining step that opens the door for someone who has this problem to be able to seek help. It removes the barrier that blocks you from seeking help. It also removes the barrier that blocks your neighbor from offering help. This is very critical. It's very important. No matter how much intervention you bring in, if an individual cannot seek help, if an individual cannot access and, you know, take up that service, it's useless. If someone next to you cannot refer you to the place for you to be able to take that service, then it's useless. So it's very important that we remove this barrier, a barrier that prevents you from seeking help and a barrier that prevents your neighbor from offering help. That's number one. But that is not all. That in itself cannot solve all the problems of suicide. Preventive measure, it's very important as the legislative measure that we're talking about. And this preventive measure must address all the health and non-health determinants of suicide, all the social determinants we are talking about. We are not saying that you should go onto the continent and start sharing money to people, but we should have an overarching governance system that will be aiming at preventing suicide on the continent of Africa. So we must have policies. We must have strategic suicide prevention framework in all countries put in place that will contain all the things we need to do to address both the health and non-health determinants of suicide. And this will be commitment by the government that, yes, we understand that this is a crisis, and we are ready to provide all these things to be able to go into suicide prevention. And very importantly, these policies, this framework, that cut across age and gender, and some of them will be youth specific, because in Africa, suicide rate among the young is above the global average. The global average of suicide worldwide across age groups is about 9 per 100,000. In Africa, among young people, the average is about 15 per 100,000, almost double. And among men in Africa, the average is about 18 per 100,000. And this represents the workforce of Africa. When you talk about men and you talk about youth in a continent that is youthful. So we must have, within these policies and framework, packages that will target the those who are of very high, you know, vulnerability, while not neglecting all other members of the society, that will be able to address the social determinants and health determinants of suicide. And very importantly, we need to put in place mechanisms that will allow people to access help without really surrendering their autonomy and their privacy, without really surrendering what they consider to be private to them that they don't need to disclose to others, without even leaving their rooms, without leaving their offices. Interventions that people can access, and you will access help wherever you are. And whatever serious thoughts and behavior you have can be de-escalated without you even moving out of where you are. And these are crisis helplines that are technology-based, that are very modern, that will help people to be able to access help without leaving where they are. They will be able to get referral to wherever they want. They are going to seek further help. So these are the packages that we need to bring. And it must be contained within this, you know, coherent, positive direction governance system for each country that we can put in place, and we'll be able to have a comprehensive and integrated package of suicide prevention for the continent of Africa.
That's fantastic, Dr. Taiwo Latif Sheikh. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your insights on such an important issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leonard. I'm grateful.
That was Dr. Taiwo Latif Sheikh, Lifeline International's Africa Coordinator in Nigeria. That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linoch Mudu, in Washington, with producer Nicole Peters. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Bringing women's voices to the conversation on things that matter to hearts and minds of women.
We are here at Kalerwe Market, Uganda, Kampala, where in this whole market, women are crying out for their situations to change.
With strong opinions and expertise on things that impact and change their lives.
Here in Kinshasa, campaigns to raise awareness against the spread of coronavirus are common, but getting that information to people who have no access to water, electricity, or money can be a challenge.
From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent.
I think a big thing for me is just being able to say that when these protests are happening, does it turn around into policy?
We hear your voices, women's voices, our voices, and add your voice to the conversation each week right here on The Voice of America.